Mind you that, as you already know, I'm not the authority. I'm certainly not infallible. I miss the mark and from time to time make mistakes. I don't do that on purpose. I may misquote something, give the wrong Bible verse, or miss the mark in some other way. And if I do that, you feel free to let me know that. I stand at the back at the conclusion of every service to make myself available for you. If you have questions or if you disagree with what I say, and you let me know that. You're not going to hurt my feelings, I promise you. And I won't count you as an enemy because you let me know that. We've been doing some character studies along the way, and I've enjoyed those. We've had a couple from the Old Testament thus far. I hope you remember, we talked about Job, and it was the beginning of our character study. And then we asked the question, have you considered Jeroboam? And we talked about Jeroboam, one of the Old Testament kings that you read about. So I want us to continue our study on these Bible characters and ask the question this morning, have you considered another one? This one from the New Testament. Our scripture reading was from Luke chapter 19, verse 10, which I know you're familiar with, when Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." We know that reference. We talk about that reference. We talk about the purpose of Jesus, and that reference comes to mind. But I ask you, do you recall the context in which Jesus made that statement? It makes for a very good character study as we think about some Bible characters. The context of that goes back to verse 1 of Luke chapter 19. And so this morning we're going to ask the question, have you considered Zacchaeus? A lot of our young people, our little children, learn the song about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Me and Carson had sung that song together and enjoyed that this past week. Climbed up into a sycamore tree, climbed up on the island, he did to demonstrate that. Had to get him down a couple of times. But we learned that song thinking about Zacchaeus, thinking about the Lord. And it is a good little song to teach our children about the importance of what we can learn about Zacchaeus and about Jesus. And I want us to think about, have you considered Zacchaeus? There are several things that you could learn from this man. I'm only going to share 10 of them with you this morning. So I want us to think about the things that we can learn. Let's go to Luke chapter 19 and begin with verse 1 very quickly. Luke 19, 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. You remember about Jericho, right? There was a man that fell among thieves and so forth, and other Bible events that took place at Jericho or near Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Then verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever realized and thought about verse 10 of Luke 19 in connection with Zacchaeus? I hope that you do from now on. That's the context that Luke 19 and in verse 10 is found. So let's think about Zacchaeus for just a little while this morning. First of all, the Bible says that he was chief among the publicans. That statement, chief among the publicans, means that he was a principal tax collector, tax gatherer. That's what a publican was, but he was a principal tax collector or gatherer. The publicans were not always esteemed in the eyes of the people. I'm sure you realize that. When you come over to Luke chapter 5 and in verse 27, we remember the calling of Matthew, Levi, Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. Now this doesn't mean he was sitting there giving people receipts. But the receipt of custom was a tax office. It's so rendered in the New King James Version of the Bible. Sitting at the tax office, at a toll, at a place where the publicans or tax gatherers do their business. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left, all rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? Jesus answered, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a lot of parallels between Levi or Matthew and Zacchaeus. But they were not always esteemed in the eyes of the people because of what they did, their work. They were working on behalf of the government to take up a levy, to take up a tax, and to collect that. Now, it wasn't as though all of them just were honest folks and they just took exactly what was expected to be taken up or rendered from the people, but a lot of them were dishonest. And so when you look at Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says that some of the publicans came to be baptized and they asked him, Master, what shall we do? And remember what Jesus said in response to that question? Exact or take no more than what is appointed unto you. Be honest. Don't put a burden on the people and try to take from them what's not to be taken up. And so we read that Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans, or he was a principal tax gatherer. But we also learn that he was a rich man. We're not going to speculate about anything. It does us no good whatsoever to speculate about anything in the Bible. That just does us no good whatsoever. But the Bible says in the text that he was a rich man, and we know that there were individuals who were rich who used their wealth in a right way. And I'll gave you examples of that in the past. I think about Job. We think about others, Solomon and so forth, who had riches and wealth and so forth. And we read about rich people who did not use their wealth in such a way that would be right and pleasing unto God. Material possessions are not what life is all about. The Lord talked about that in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, when He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. To covet means to long for something that we don't have. We want more and more and more. And the Bible over and over talks about the danger of that. That the eyes of man, the one who likes money or silver or wealth, that his eyes are never satisfied with that. The eyes of man are never satisfied or full. Just wanting more and more. That's to covet. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Again, that's Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul talked about riches. When he would state in 1 Timothy 6, begin with verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. How many are godly in today's world? How many are content in today's world? Are we content? I have to start with myself. Am I content with the things that I have, or do I want more and more and more? Are we content or not? But he says it's great gain. Godliness coupled with contentment. Why, Paul? Verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Someone has once said, a lot of truth in it, no doubt, show me someone with $1 million and I'll show you someone with 1 million problems. A lot of truth in that, no doubt. But Zacchaeus was a rich man. And the riches that someone has, the material possessions that they have, are not wrong in and of themselves. to have those things. Now, go extra foot with that and say depending on what they are, so that no one runs with that. But notice as well that he sought to see Jesus. He was a chief or principal tax collector. He was rich. And the Bible says that he sought to see Jesus. Are we a Jesus seeker? Do we seek to know who Jesus is? We just read from Luke chapter 19, verse 10, at least twice. Now the third time that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, if I want to be saved, do I long to know who He is, to know Him and to live according to His Word? In Matthew 7, 7, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek and ye shall find." Remember that? "Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive." In Revelation 3, 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me." We talked about the fact of a spiritual fellowship with God. Obviously, it's not a literal indwelling of Christ, God, or the Holy Spirit when you read passages like that. But through the Word of God, a joint participation or fellowship as we labor together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that. But Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. Isn't it sad that we live in an all-for-nothing type of world today? Folks want everything, but they want it for nothing at all. They want to know Jesus many times, they say. They want to know God many times, they say. They want to be a Christian, they say, and they want to go to heaven, they say, but they don't want to pay the price for it. They don't want to put anything into it. You've put something into it. You got up this morning, readied yourself, and here you are because you're interested in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That says something about you. I commend you for it, and I encourage you to continue to do that. But a lot of folks want to go to heaven without putting anything into it. Zacchaeus was a man that we learned who sought to see Jesus. Well, he didn't have to. He was rich and no doubt could have been engaged in other things, other activities, but he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And then I'm impressed as the text continues to teach us about Zacchaeus. And verse 4 says that he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. He ran. The Bible doesn't say that he dragged him. But he ran. Sometimes I do a lesson, I've done it here, on Bible runners. Folks who showed enthusiasm to do and to be busy about the work of the Lord. He ran before and he climbed up into that tree because he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was passing by that way. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible talking about Jesus who redeemed us from all iniquity, that he might purchase unto himself a peculiar people, you know the rest of that, zealous unto or of good works. Enthusiastic about doing the things that we're to do. Zealous. Energized to do that. I don't mean, as the religious world so often does today, about jumping up, pooping and hollering and doing this and that and the other. That's not what I'm talking about. But a mind that is ready and zealous to obey and to do the bidding of the Lord. In Acts 8:30, when a man of Ethiopia was reading from the prophet Isaiah, from Isaiah 53 about Jesus, he didn't understand that. But the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, "Go and join thyself unto this chariot." Acts 8:29. Verse 30 says that when the Spirit told him to do that he just slow-poked that way. Is that what your book says? You know better. The Bible says that he ran. You see any enthusiasm with what he was doing? Some zeal about what he was doing? But also, Zacchaeus ran and he climbed up into a tree. Now someone may say, "Now preacher, what kind of point are you going to make about climbing up into a tree?" Here's a point that I want you to see about it, is he took initiative for what he was going to do, what he wanted to do. He took some initiative. The Bible says, do you know why he climbed up in that tree? Verse 3 says, he could not see Jesus for the press because he was little of stature. He wasn't a tall man. He was short. How short? I don't know. Short enough he was hindered from seeing them, and he desired to see the Lord. And so you know what he did? He took initiative for seeing the Lord. When's the last time you or I and others took initiative for our own condition? Think about that. I just mentioned to you, all for nothing society. Folks going to come to service to learn about the Lord, take some initiative for your own condition before the Lord. Getting ready to have a gospel meeting, first full week of June. We're going to take some initiative to come out and to be edified or to learn the gospel. Zacchaeus took initiative. That's proof positive by the text. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Simon, or Saul of Tarsus, asked. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. That doesn't mean you do it the way you want to, and I believe and do what I want to do. We've got to do it our own way. That's not what he's talking about. Individual responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But also Zacchaeus obeyed the Lord's instruction. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Verse 6 says that he made haste and he came down. I can't help but to notice the twofold part of what the Lord said. Make haste and come down. And the Bible says he made haste and came down. How many times do we tell our children, I want you to do this and that, but they may just do one of them as though they obeyed us? It's kind of like telling a child, I want you to come over here and sit by me. And they sit down, but they sit on the other end of the seat. Now, did they obey me? Well, no, they didn't obey me. What I said was, sit down by me. They may have sat down, but they didn't sit down by me, and so they didn't obey. We've got to teach our kids the importance of doing exactly as what we tell them to do. Don't budge or give an inch on that. If you do, they'll run a mile with it. I guarantee it. That's the way kids are. We've got to teach them. But I see the importance of that very simple principle in the Bible. When God says something, we move as He instructed. Make haste and come down. Zacchaeus made haste and came down. Have we obeyed the Lord? Have we obeyed His instruction as He has stated? If we didn't do it as He stated, we've not obeyed Him at all. John 2 and then verse 5, we read about folks who gladly heard the Lord. And in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we read about a statement when the apostle said we ought to obey God and not man. See that? Obey God. In John chapter 2 and in verse 5, I told you that it's when they gladly received the Lord's word, it is not. We're getting to that one. But John 2, 5 is when the Lord's mother had stated at Canaan, Galilee, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's the attitude that we ought to have. But also the Bible says that Zacchaeus joyfully received the Lord. In Mark 12:37, the Bible says, and they that gladly heard Him in that passage. And then in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received His word. Joyfully, with joy, akin to happiness. Happy to do something. But also, Zacchaeus was honest. Look again in the text. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Other folks have stated things like that in the Bible. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What an attitude. You know, the Bible, it calls upon us to be honest, like in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 37. Yeah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 rather. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, another statement about being honest. 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. But we also learn about Zacchaeus that he was hospitable. Jesus said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste, he came down, receiving joyfully. And they that saw it murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. When's the last time that me and you display some hospitality toward others? Are we given to hospitality? We're encouraged to be that way. Actually, encouraged not strong enough. We're commanded to be that way. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. That means without complaining and murmuring. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 talks about those that are rich, that they be given to hospitality for the distribution of those things. Hospitality was certainly a first century principle, and even before that, and a lot of folks have said that that is a lost art among people today, to do some hospitality. By the way, we've got occasion to do that. Maybe when we have visitors, you might want to invite them out, or if someone comes to your house, again, ask them if they want something to drink or whatever the case may be. We have some sick folk who are confined to the hospital. Maybe something you can do. We've got a meal list on the back board that is individuals we might can sign up and feed the preacher and those coming with him during the meeting. I encourage you to leave no blanks on that before he gets here. What does that say about us when the preacher comes and there's blanks on that schedule? Don't leave it empty. Make sure that's filled out. Number 10 and last. Zacchaeus had folks who spoke against him. Have you ever had someone speak against you? Or maybe not say anything against you, but they sure didn't say anything for you, which says a whole lot. Right? Zacchaeus was a man. We've all been in that situation, no doubt. Zacchaeus was a man who had things spoken against him. We just read where folks had said that Jesus went to be guest with a man that was a sinner. Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you. Have you been hated? When they shall separate you from their company. Folks ever do you that way? They ever done me that way? And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Then in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. He talks about persecution and so forth. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. A lot of lessons learned from the story of Zacchaeus, an inspired story. Have you obeyed the Lord? Have you sought to see Jesus and to know who He was? He's made known to us through the Bible. We can open up the pages of the Word of God and we can be acquainted with He who died on the cross for our sins. Now, I didn't see those events. I didn't hear His sermons and His great speeches that He delivered physically. But by thy faith we can hear and see as we open up the Bible and read from its contents. Maybe you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, but you've decided today's the day. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? You do what they did in the Bible to be saved. That is to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe it. John 8:24, repent of your sins. That means to turn from it. Change your mind about what you've been doing. It's evident by a change of life. Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, Romans 10:10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, God will forgive you of everything you've ever done. Every sin you've ever committed in your past to be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And you'll be added to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not living as you should, and you've come to yourself. You want to come home and be restored and to start anew. You can do that by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.